State Farm. This is Jessica.
Hey, Jessica, Jerry Newman. Does State Farm offer more discounts to more drivers?
Yep, like the good driver discount.
So it's for good, but not great drivers.
No, Jerry. There's also the multi-line discount.
For calling from multiple lines while driving.
You should never use a phone while driving.
I only make calls from my car when I'm stuck in a ditch or something.
Are you in a ditch?
Yes, I am.
State Farm offers more discounts to more drivers than any other insurance company. Get to a better state.
Give me a call. Your good neighbor State Farm agent, Susan Casper, at 659-5678.
Rich is just a really, really, really good guy. The term good egg isn't enough to describe him. He's also certified organic and free range. Rich puts the cap back on everything. The toothpaste, the olive oil, the shampoo, everything. He lets his 10-year-old nephew beat him at virtual tennis, even though he can straight-up slay his 10-year-old nephew in virtual tennis. When the toilet paper is running low, Rich replaces the roll on the actual holder, not just on the back of the toilet. Rich is texting and driving. Rich? No. What are you doing, Rich? I was just telling everyone how great you are. Texting and driving makes good people look bad. Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org. A public service announcement brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
When you need to know.
Because there's nicotine in it, follows the same guidelines as buying cigarettes. If you're under the age of 18, you can't possess it.
On the air first, when seconds count.
We know that youth sports is one way for kids to see what they can achieve, for them to build positive relationships with adults, and for them to build positive relationships with one another. And they learn such valuable life lessons.
The news team you've come to depend on.
Sign that lease, there had to be a commitment to pay the rental income that would be necessary to make the bond payment. So today, the council, through the ordinances that we passed, gave our assent and our commitment that we would provide the financing or the funding to pay those debt service payments.
Your official weather station.
This is 32 additional homes in the price range of $175,000 to $215,000. Right now, F&K Construction, who is going to be doing all of the road work and utility work, are going through their final plat approval process.
On the first from your official weather station, WILO.
Do you know someone who is a true community hero? Someone who has made a true difference and has a true passion for making Clinton County a better place to live? If so, here is your chance to help them get recognized. Get your nomination form at WILO, Frankfort Main Street, or Frankfort Community Public Library and return to the same locations. To be eligible, they must be a Clinton County resident and there is no age limit. The Community Hero brought to you by Frankfort's Unified Neighborhoods and your home for classic hits, WILO.
WILO and Casper Media are members of the exclusive International Broadcasters Idea Bank. Casper Media and 99 other broadcasters from around the world come together to trade ideas on how to better serve our communities and our listeners. A member of the International Broadcasters Idea Bank since 1991, Casper Media has hosted the Idea Bank convention throughout the years. Casper Media and Idea Bank, constantly working to better serve you. Depend on WILO.
And welcome back to Inside the Huddle, sponsored by your State Farm insurance agents, Susan Casper and Tony Theofanis. I'm your host, Ken Hartman. Now being joined in the studio by our guests, who are Colton Crum from, who's out, I could say from Frankfurt, but actually technically Notre Dame now, and also his dad, Gary Crum. Gentlemen, good morning. How you doing?
Good morning.
Good morning.
How's things going for the things at Notre Dame these days?
Things are going well. If you ask any Notre Dame student now, you know, how everything's been, they're going to tell you they're really glad that finals are over. So fall semester's over and, you know, on to the spring and new classes and new schedules and everything that we look forward to.
So was the finals of fall semester as good or bad as what you were, you know, putting it out to be, or what?
Anyone will tell you it's challenging. They went really well, though. Everything's going well.
So, I mean, and I take it you guys, your track season now is also splits into fall and the spring and summer, too.
Yeah, so we're continuing the train even on, you know, reading days. We're going into the track and we're getting, you know, some work done even leading all the way up to finals.
So this semester go really well for you?
It did go well, yes.
So you're ready to be on the dean's list and all that?
Yeah, we'll see about that. But definitely, you know, working towards, you know, graduation. I'm now a semester early after taking summer school, and so I'm ripping right through all the core requirements and on to graduating in, you know, less than 2 years.
Okay. Now, what exactly is your major and all that good stuff
so
up there?
So I'm studying business analytics, and I'm minoring in computer science. So basically, I've got all the, you know, requirements that a business major would take, the accounting, the finance, but I've also have all the programming skills that a computer science major would have. It's a bit of a hybrid major.
Okay. All right. So then now, okay, since you're going to be able to graduate early, are you going to stay up there for a full 4 years, or what's that looking like right now?
Yeah.
Or does that depend on something else, which we'll get to in a minute or two?
No, I mean, there's so many opportunities at Notre Dame, and I certainly don't want to squander anything that I could possibly go and take up there. We've talked about law school. We've talked about some graduate programs. But, you know, we've also talked about, you know, potentially just graduating and going into the workforce and or starting a company and things like that. So there's a lot of opportunities. I don't want to pin myself on anything right now. It really just depends on how I'm jumping at the time, what my direction is going, and what I feel comfortable with.
But I take it, though, there's one thing that's going to kind of dictate what you do, though, and that's going to be called the Olympic Trials coming up here this year, a little bit later.
Yeah, absolutely. So I just received a letter from the USATF saying that I'm a likely candidate for the trials, so we were pretty excited about that. It's nowhere, you know, it doesn't buy me a ticket to Tokyo, but it certainly does say, hey, you're on the map. We know, you know, what you're jumping, and if you keep jumping, you know, high, we'll invite you to the trials. So that was pretty exciting.
I know you told me the last time you were here, but the trials are when and where?
So they're in, I think, June or July, and they're in Eugene, Oregon. So it'll be at the University of Oregon's track.
That's a great place to go to.
It's a wonderful track. I was there 4 years ago watching the trials and got to be part of the whole experience. The whole family was there. So it was a cool learning experience. That was something my dad always did that I was really fortunate was, you know, he knew as I was progressing, he would place me at all the meets. And it was funny, you know, eighth grade year, you know, after practice one day, dad's like, hey, we're going to go, you know, see the state meet. And so even in eighth grade, I was watching, you know, the track I would be on, you know, 4 years later, I would be jumping on and doing, going through that same process that I saw all those kids are. And so in 2016, dad said, you know, we're going to the Olympic trials and we're going to watch. And so I sat in the bleachers over the course of the 3-4 days, and we watched the guys struggle and go up poles and the motions and the tension behind it all. And dad said, you know, if you keep jumping high and we keep working hard, this could be a possibility.
How much of an advantage is that for you to do things like that?
I mean, it's always when you're challenging yourself to the absolute maximum, you have to give it your all at with everything. And so I think having the foresight to say, hey, this is something that I could have if I want. You know, if I get lucky, if I work really hard, if I stay injury-free, I can actually achieve and do the things that I really want to do. And so it takes a lot of patience, but, you know, above anything, you have to believe in yourself. And seeing other people out there trying and looking at them and say, hey, you know, there's not so much difference between you and me, that's what really motivates me at least.
Gary, from that perspective, I mean, how would you lay out something like that for Colton? I mean, do you look a month, 6 months, a year down the line, and say, hey, that's what we want to do, how you put out something like that?
Well, for me, he's a young man that could do. I noticed early on he had the ability and the focus and the work ethic to do great things. And I just knew that if I could expose him to some of those things mentally, and my wife was a big part of this too. Colton was nice saying that it was my idea to go to Olympic trials, but really, really it was our anniversary, and my wife goes, we're going to take the whole family, and this will be a wonderful experience for everyone, and I give her the credit for that, because I was, but he's just a, you just don't see that. I talk about the eighth grade year and going to the state meet and exposing him to those things. But I just knew that if I could position him in those areas and he could see that, that he could make it happen. And I'll be honest with you, it can happen.
Yeah.
We're that close.
I mean, you know, was that the first time that you had done something like that? Was the eighth grade year that you decided, okay, you're going to expose him to that? Or did you do it a little bit before that?
We did it before that. To answer your question, you know, he was really good at riding a motorcycle. We raced. He's a little boy that we started at 4 and 5 years old, and And I saw him, and we always positioned him with, because he would excel at that. This kind of sounds kind of funny, but we'd always put him in with maybe the group ahead, older kids. He's vaulted, he'd race against, kids that are much older than him, and it was just interesting. He would always rise to that occasion. He would always bring that level up, and when he was in eighth grade, we vaulted with college Division III athletes, and it was just always, he was just always able to bring that up. But I don't know if God positioned it that way, or it was my idea, or it just seemed to work out that way, in the way that Colton is, would always rise to that occasion.
Okay. Are you glad you gave up BMX?
Yeah. it's funny because a lot of you would think that motocross and pole vaulting would have no correlation, but actually a lot of the same traits that you find in motocross riders across the country, you find in pole vaulters, just in lesser amounts.
Because the thing is, let's be honest, almost in every sport, hand-eye coordination is paramount in almost everything you do.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I mean, hand-eye coordination, having the ability to say, hey, I'm going to try this, and I don't know how it's going to work out. You know, everything that we do, and a lot of people who don't, watch pole vaulting regularly think it's crazy or think, I love taking risk or all the above. And really, it's just risk management. That's all it is. And whether you're jumping, a 60-foot jump on a motorcycle, or whether you're trying to backflip a bicycle into a foam pit, or you're skateboarding, or you're doing any one of these things, you have to have the ability to say, hey, I'm going to do this, and this is what it's going to take. And really, that's what we're doing when we're pole vaulting. It's really a performance, and really it's a bit of a dance in trying to figure out, hey, how bad do I want this extra height? Because it's always going to end in failure. There's always going to be one height that every jumper is not going to get. And so that continuum of, hey, we're going to push the limit, mm-hmm. and we're going to see how far we can go, and there's no win-loss like an NBA game is. That's what keeps me going. There's always a better version of myself that I didn't get even on my best days.
Okay, when do you start back up or up at Notre Dame again?
So the week I come back, I think in 2 weeks, January the 17th, we have a meet at in Michigan, and then it's meets pretty much every weekend.
I hope it's indoors.
Yeah, it was definitely indoors.
But that sounds gonna be kind of cool there too.
Absolutely.
So you got a meet virtually every week, and then when do you guys change from indoor to outdoor?
So at the end of March, we have the indoor national meet, and then I think the following week or two, we have off, and it's the same thing for outdoor, then it's every weekend.
So academically, schedule's still as rigorous as it always was, and goes, what you were telling me the last time is that, hey, I'm up till midnight. Always, it just seems like doing something.
Well, and that's what it is. It takes a lot, academically to put it together. At the ACC meet last year for the indoor season, I was up late, trying to finish a project. I was on the phone with my roommate trying to figure some stuff out. It was a programming assignment, and it's just part of it. And it's the task that I've accepted, and it's definitely a challenge, and not for everyone. And there is times where I'm like, man, this is really tough. I wish it was a little bit easier, or I wish something would let up on some end, but it's not. And it's a challenge. And I've decided to go through this and to perform academically and athletically to the best of my ability. And this is what it's going to take. This is part of it.
But you also, I think the key, and I have a feeling what you're saying, is that, you got to be organized. And you have to know exactly what you're doing and how, okay, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to do it this time, then mm-hmm. I'm going to do this down mm-hmm. the line. You have to be organized to do this.
Yeah, I mean, I spend 4 hours a day, at the track every day. That's a given. And I spend about 3.5 hours in class, and then you tackle on, probably 3.5 hours of studying, or plus or minus of doing, different tasks. That doesn't leave you a whole lot to yourself. But that's part of the program. That's part of being a college athlete and trying to excel in all areas of it. And the kids that are really doing well have it all mapped out. This is what I'm going to do. I'm studying from this time. I'm sleeping from this time. And you don't really fudge the schedule, very often at all.
Do you honestly think that most kids who are in high school now and think, okay, I'm going to go this, we're going wherever in college. Mm-hmm. Do you honestly think they understand what they're getting themselves into and have and they've got the discipline to do that or not?
No, I thought that I was pretty disciplined in high school, And it's a whole other ball game when you get to a university like Notre Dame. I can't speak for other universities. It's probably a lot different and will vary depending on if you go to a big, you know, vault school or a big school known for sports, or maybe if you go to an Ivy League. It really just depends on where you go. I've heard people say that their colleges were easier than their high schools, which I don't even understand how it could happen.
No.
And I've also heard of kids saying, "Oh, it's extremely tough," and I can contest to that as well. So, you know, Frankfort High School is a wonderful place. It treated me very, very well. But going from Frankfort to Notre Dame was definitely a big jump. And it was
night and day.
A jump from work ethic. I mean, it took a lot more hours of studying. It went from, you know, you study for maybe 30 minutes and you get an A to maybe you study 4 hours and you get a B minus. And it's a very challenging, place. And I look to my peers and they've gone to, Catholic prep schools and they've, they were taking the SAT freshman year at, 14, 15 years old. And I'm rolling in, junior year trying to take these things, which is, it's just all great. I don't regret anything. But definitely there is a difference in probably in the discipline is the most thing I can say about that.
Gary, did that surprise you about how much of a difference there really is between where he was at Frankfort and then going to Notre Dame?
Absolutely. we were on a recruiting trip. This brings up something I was thinking about as he's talking about being an athlete and being a student. There was a young man, my last name was Shank. He was who Colton roomed with as a recruit. From California, engineering student at Notre Dame, obviously, and was in the vault program, and he was staying there with Antonio, which was a long jumper, and they were kind of recruiting and trying to court us a little bit to get us to go there, and I said, guys, if you could change one thing about Notre Dame, what would it be? And they both looked at each other and said, boy, if it was just a little bit easier academically, and these guys all looked sleep deprived, and that's when I first started hearing things like, sleep is something we don't get a lot of, and then it affects performance. And it never really dawned on me because, public school has been very good to me, and mm-hmm. state institutions. But when you talk about a top 10 university in the country, it's a different level. There's more valedictorians that go there than not. There was a young man that was a great, one of the best high jumpers ever. He was on a recruiting trip with Colton, and I remember something to the order of, hey, I wonder if this young man's going to go here. And the coach said, he's got a 3.7. I couldn't get him in here if I tried. So where did the young man go? University of Southern California. Mm-hmm. So it's a high level that I never dreamed, but I love what it brings. I love the kind of what it's doing as far as shaping Colton as a young man.
When you when you don't get the rest that you need or you want, what gets affected more, the athletics or the academics?
Yeah, well, that changes week to week. And there's times where I'm on the phone with my dad and I'm like, he's trying to talk to me about some Pobol technical, and I'm like, I don't want to hear that right now. I'm thinking about this exam on Thursday, and so it's definitely a play because I've seen this all the time. I see kids that excel in high school academically, athletically. They jump right into college, and the shock factor of like, okay, wow, like we're actually doing this. There was a point through conditioning when I first was on the Notre Dame track team, walked on, I'm like, oh my goodness, like we're gonna do this every day. Like this is not mm-hmm. just a one time mm-hmm. workout. Mm-hmm. My hardest workout in high school, we do that every day in college. And so I see kids all the time. They'll come into college very excited, high hopes, as we all do. And then it starts to settle in, like, okay, something's got to give. Something mm-hmm. has to get better. Something has to get worse. And oftentimes it's the athletics. So, articles will come out. There'll be tweets. And, people just don't understand what these kids are going through. Mm-hmm. And, if you've got to, figure out your grades and you've got to stay above, the A, B, and Dean's list. I've seen kids, compromise track practice. I've seen them skip the ice baths. They'll skip the nutrition. They'll exit practice early and then, no, I got to work on this project. And I understand. I totally understand.
Right.
But if you want to really, really do it, really, really do well, it takes an incredible amount of discipline.
Does it feel kind of good to be kind of, under the radar, say, at a place like Notre Dame? Because obviously you're not going to get the attention the football team gets mm-hmm. or the basketball team, either one of them, especially if either one are playing well, which mm-hmm. right now they're kind of, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But does it feel kind of good to be under the radar in a way because you can kind of, I won't say do what you want, but you can kind of just live your life a little bit.
Well, it's always fun with, the publicity that some of these athletes get. But my best work is always done in the dark. It's when no one sees me. It's when, you know, people don't think I'm jumping very high when I actually am. You know, it's always the times where I've gone through, you know, the hardest changes, and whether it's coaching or technique or anything, that it's birthed the highest heights and the most productive periods of my life. And it hasn't always been the most fun, but it's always been what was needed at that time. And that, you know, is probably God directing me and leading me through this in this journey, and deciding, hey, this is, you know, what we need to do right now, and I fully trust that.
You know, in addition to all your meets you got, how many hours are you taking now for academically?
16 and a half, and that's the maximum for the business school. They won't allow you to, you know, you'll have to overload anything over that.
Would you like to try and take more if you could or not?
If I wasn't a track athlete, I would be taking 19.
Okay.
I would have probably graduated in 3 years, and I would be probably on to business ventures right now. And
okay.
And it's just, you know, pole vaulting is a wonderful tool. It's something I can really work at, and I can try, and I can dream at, and work hard. But definitely there'll be a time where I'll make that switch, and I'll put the same energy where I'm, you know, getting up at 6 in the morning to go, you know, lift weights. I'll put it in a business. And that kind of intensity I've learned from my father. And it's something that, you know, it doesn't matter really what the subject is, what the medium is, but as long as you're working hard, as hard as you possibly can, and you're setting and stretching yourself out, you know, to work towards a goal, that's really what it's all about. I mean, you can spend 40 years doing that and really, really enjoy something mm-hmm. and get the best out of your life.
Speaking of enjoying, I have a feeling you probably enjoyed what you were doing before you and I got back together. Where'd you guys go anyway on that cruise?
Well, we went to Cozumel. We went to Mexico,
okay.
And we had a great time. It was very relaxing. It was one of those things we talked about last night at dinner, what we enjoyed so much about it, and it was being able to enjoy a breakfast together and drink coffee and talk and then maybe be able in the afternoon to take relax. And we talked about how can we duplicate that here. That was one of the conversations. How can we duplicate that here? How can we time block? And Colton said, we can do that if we make that decision to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And I know how things start to go. And he was at the dinner table. He's trying to figure out how he can make his schedule work. And we all kind of looked at each other and said, honey, I don't think that's... you've got to sleep sometime. But for us, it was just a really nice recharge. It wasn't anything more than family. And we spent a lot of time together. And we laughed. And it was
that's
beautiful.
A big part of life right there. You got to laugh.
Yes.
So, guys, anything else you want to add before I let you go? Go.
No, again, I'd just like to thank everybody from Frankfurt, you know, the coaching staff, Richard Slee, my coach, long-term coach, Tony Heath, you know, Rodney Zuderwick, I'm working with him up at Notre Dame, everyone who's come together to really get this and rally behind, you know, us as a team. This isn't really, I don't see myself as jumping out here. I see myself as, you know, kind of the city of Frankfurt, that we're going to do something great. We're going to, you know, commit ourselves to a great task and hopefully achieve some of it. So I just want to thank everybody for doing that. And the support is tremendous. I would not be able to do anything without my family, without the coaching, without my team, and obviously the city of Frankfurt. So thank you.
Well, you know, obviously, are you going to make it back before the Olympic trials?
I hope so.
Okay.
I hope so.
I hope to see it before the trials, so they can give you a proper send-off, okay? Colton Crum, Gary Crum, guys, thanks much. We greatly appreciate the time. We're going to take a break right now. You're listening to Inside the Huddle, sponsored by your State Farm insurance agents, Susan Casper and Tony Theofanis.
Today, we decided to walk to school. At the corner, we waited to cross the street. The stoplight counted down. 15, 14.
31? I mean, 13?
We took a left on Carroll Garden Street.
Garden Street?
Loud music was coming from a car. Danny's a smart kid, but he gets so distracted.
There were so many other sounds, I didn't know what to focus on.
Danny, Earth to Danny. Suddenly, he realized he forgot his homework again.
I left my homework on the table.
At the school steps, we hugged goodbye. I really hope he doesn't have another bad day at school today.
When you can see learning and attention issues from their side, you can be on their side. That's why there's understood.org, a free online resource for the parents of the 1 in 5 kids with learning and attention issues. Get personalized recommendations, practical tips, daily access to experts, and more. Go from misunderstanding to understood.org. Brought to you by Understood and the Ad Council.
Your free local online newspaper, ClintonCountyDailyNews.com, is your number one resource for information as you need it. Right at your fingertips, we have news, weather, sports, obituaries, the WILO program schedule, over 40,000 community photos, online surveys, community events, and WILO TV archives. Plus, click on the info tab to find out how you can contact your local and state representative. Find out what the buzz is all about. ClintonCountyDailyNews.com.
Life insurance is one of those subjects that make people want to change the subject, rather than admit they probably don't have enough. That's why State Farm agent Susan Casper in Frankfort focuses on how the benefits of life insurance actually live on, by asking people to think in terms of life without having to sell the house insurance, or life without having to give up college insurance. Find out how the benefits of life insurance can live on with your family. Call State Farm agent Susan Casper in Frankfort at 765-659-5678. And put the life back in life insurance.
Do you know someone who is a true community hero? Someone who has made a true difference and has a true passion for making Clinton County a better place to live? If so, here is your chance to help them get recognized. Get your nomination form at WILO, Frankfort Main Street, or Frankfort Community Public Library and return to the same locations. To be eligible, they must be a Clinton County resident and there is no age limit. The Community Hero brought to you by Frankfort's Unified Neighborhoods and your home for classic hits, WILO.
WILO and Casper Media are members of the exclusive International Broadcasters Idea Bank. Casper Media and 99 other broadcasters from around the world come together to trade ideas on how to better serve our communities and our listeners. A member of the International Broadcasters Idea Bank since 1991, Casper Media has hosted the Idea Bank convention throughout the years. Casper Media and Idea Bank, constantly working to better serve you. Depend on WILO.
And welcome back to Inside the Huddle, sponsored by State Farm Insurance agents Susan Casper and Tony Theofanis. I'm your host, Ken Hartman. Been two great guests today. We had Jim Moyer, who's kept the book for the Frankfort High School basketball teams for 50 years. He was our first guest today. We just wrapped up a segment with Colton Crum and his dad, Gary Crum, talk about his pole vaulting expertise and things are going to be happening in the future for him. We got about 6-7 minutes left in the show, so if you want to have a conversation, 659-3338 or 1-800-447-4463 are the numbers. Give us a call and we'll talk about basically anything you want to talk about. Do want to touch a little bit on football, even though it's not been that great. The pole season has been awful, I thought, basically for the most part. Though it was fun to watch LSU and Clemson kind of kick some rear end the other, you know, meet each other next Monday night at the national championship game. Something I think you might want to enjoy today is the FCS, the Football Championship Series championship game. This will be at noon on ABC down in Frisco, Texas. Hopefully the weather's a little better down there than it is here. But you're going to get to see two really, really good teams. That's North Dakota State against James Madison. They play each other quite frequently at this time of the year. They've been 1-2 basically for almost the entire, since the preseason. And they've been the top two seeds in the 2014 playoffs. North Dakota State is 15-0 and James Madison is 14-1. The thing of it is now is that the Bison from North Dakota State have an FCS record of a 36-game winning streak that they'll take into this game. And the other thing that's interesting about this game is that they're both coached by first-year coaches. Kurt Cignetti is the first-year coach at James Madison, and Matt Entz, who is in his first year at North Dakota State. Entz has been the defensive coordinator at North Dakota State, so he kind of knows exactly what he's been getting into. So it should be a great game. It's at noon on ABC, the FCS championship game between North Dakota State and James Madison. That's at noon on ABC. The other thing of note, we should have talked about this last week, we didn't get a chance to, is that Purdue now has a new defensive coordinator, as Nick Holt departed here last month. And they've now hired the former Louisiana Tech defensive coordinator, Bob Diaco. Diaco brings a wealth of experience to Purdue staff, including the defensive coordinator stops at Notre Dame in 2010-13 in Nebraska. In 2017, in addition to Louisiana Tech last year, he spent the 2014-16 season as the University of Connecticut's head coach. Louisiana Tech boasted the nation's second-best red zone defense, 20 yards and in the country in 2019. Bulldogs ranked among the top 60 defense in terms of yards allowed per game. And Also, current co-defensive coordinator Anthony Poindexter served as a defensive coordinator at UConn under Diaco. And the thing to remember is that this is the same Louisiana Tech team that shut out Miami of Florida 14-0 in a bowl game here this year, which I thoroughly enjoyed watching, you know, Miami finish under 500 and getting themselves blanked by what I would call a second-tier team, because Louisiana Tech is not at the top of the list, but they do play a very good, solid brand of football. As we said, the bowl season is rapidly wrapping up. There is one game of note today, I do believe, other than the one we did talk about. It's the Armed Forces Bowl. It'll be down in Fort Worth. As Southern Mississippi will play Tulane. That game is today on, I'm sure it's on ESPN at some point in time today. But that's one of the bowl games today. And I think there's one more besides that before the national title game next Monday night, LSU and Clemson. And I'm going to keep my anonymity to myself right now to see it for who I want to see win that football game, because I'll probably get some flack if I tell you who I really want to see win. The other thing that's kind of was disheartening, but then again, I can't say I'm surprised. Gator Bowl Thursday night, Tennessee scores twice in a 30-second span late in the game and using an onside kick to beat Indiana 23-22. The rally was indicative of Tennessee's season, which started 1-4. They wound up winning their last six games. Indiana looked to be in control after scoring two touchdowns in a 103 span, the second one coming on Jamar Johnson's 63-yard interception return, and later adding a pair of field goals. Indiana winds up finishing the season at 8-5, but Tennessee got close in the game as Kavarius Crouch scored on a one-yard plunge, then fellow running back Eric Gray recovered a surprise onside kick that barely went to mandatory 10 yards. And Gray scored from 16 yards out a few plays there to put the Vols on top for good. Logan Justice missed an extra point in the third quarter, which turned out to be costly and was wide right on a 52-yard field goal with 2:12 remaining. Justice's kick had the distance but sailed just outside the right upright. So as we said, Indiana finishes the season at 8-5. It's kind of fun to kind of maybe look down the way a little bit. Injured quarterback Michael Penix and several other offensive starters return next season, which begins with Indiana's toughest road opener since playing then at number 7 Notre Dame in 1991, as the Hoosiers will open the season September the 5th on the road against Wisconsin, who, you know, the Rose Bowl actually was one of the better bowl games I've seen this year. But, you know, Oregon wound up winning the ball game 28-27, but it was a great, great very good football game that was in that game. One other thing I do want to get to, and this is something I know people are thinking of me, Andrew Luck will make a shocking return to maybe come back out of retirement. But it also was announced this week as Colts GM Chris Ballard said that Jacoby Brissett's job security is not willing to commit to him being the starter for the 2020 season. And he said that's why the Colts only signed him to a two-year extension back in September. But the Colts have the 13th draft pick coming up in the NFL draft, and they're maybe expected to at least explore the quarterback market area to see, and in free agency, so that'll see what happens. It's going to wrap it up for the show today. Our thanks to our guests, Jim Moyer, Colton Crum. That's going to do it for the show this week, so have a great week, everybody. Take care of yourselves, and we'll see you the same time next week on Inside the Huddle. Bye-bye.
This has been Inside the Huddle on WILO, brought to you by Susan Casper, State Farm Insurance, and Tony Theofanis, State Farm Insurance in Frankfort. Join us next Saturday at 9 a.m. for another edition of Inside the Huddle on WILO.